The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, July and August 2018 edition. So just a recap on what we covered last week, we covered topics such as from the beauty section about stretch marks and love your lines. Followed by, we went over six of the actors to look out for this summer on the watch list. And then we also talked about or covered the possibility of a Girls Trip sequel. So on the scene section, spotlight, staying power. Notori Naughton is a faithful practitioner of reinvention, even as she begins her fifth season on Power. The diva is already eyeing her next move. In some way, Notori Naughton knew she'd be in Power. Pun intended, her success might seem like kismet, but the actress has worked hard to fine-tune her craft. Quote, I've always wanted to be a multi-talented triple threat, end quote, says the East Orange, New Jersey native. When I was a little girl, I said I wanted to be like Whitney Houston, a singer and an actress. I wanted to be able to dance. I studied dance, piano, and voice. The fact that I've gotten a chance to do all of my passions is such a blessing. Passion is a key element in what Naughton brings to her dramatic role as Tasha St. Patrick in the Starz hit series, Power. As a sometimes reluctant, sometimes ride-or-die TV wife of Ghost, played by leading man Amari Hardrick, the petite 34-year-old actress stands firmly on her own. It's no surprise that Naughton connects with the unbreakable spirit of the no-nonsense Mrs. St. Patrick and the highs and lows of her fictional persona. Tasha is such a warrior. She's a survivor, not only with losing her marriage, but also with her children. I don't know how much more Tasha can take, but I admire her strength, says the star. Of course, there was life for Naughton before playing Tasha and stacking up acting credits on IMDb. Back in 1999, she performed as one-third of the platinum-selling girl group 3LW. A few years after she left the group, her showbiz evolution really began. She scored her first Broadway role as Little Inez in the Tony Award-winning musical Hairspray. Her big break was still to follow. She won the coveted role of Little Kim in 2009's Notorious and delivered a critically acclaimed performance. With each project, Naughton pinpoints a new artistic goal and pursues it with full force. A lot of people once knew me as just the girl from 3LW. Then I had to reinvent that, she says. For a long time, people called me Little Kim as I would walk down the street. Even now, people call me Tasha, and they genuinely are committed. I just really feel fortunate that unique black female characters are making an imprint within the culture. As Tasha, Naughton delivers her most memorable and mature character performance to date. Playing this role just gives me the confidence to be a woman. It's the first role that has given me the chance to explore motherhood. Even before I was a mom, she explains. Last July, the actress welcomed her first child, Zuri. Around the time Naughton learned that she was expecting a daughter, Tasha had to face the unexpected. Violent death of her own girl child, Raina, in the season 4 finale. Naughton admits that the experience was somewhat traumatic, yet it taught her a lesson in triumphing over adversity and about the powerful emotions of the maternal bond. Life is really interesting in so many different ways, she says. As an artist, I was creating this emotional, devastating situation with losing a daughter. But at the same time that I was shooting the scenes about the death of Raina, I was pulling from the fact that I was carrying a life. Choosing to have my beautiful daughter, Zuri, was the best decision I could have as a better woman. I'm a better person because of her. As for what she'll do next, Naughton is open to the possibilities. Perhaps she'll return to Broadway, she says, and there might even be an album on the way. But ultimately, the actress wants to step behind the camera and see what it has to offer. One thing I would love to do is direct, she says. I've been taking classes and studying directing. I want to produce and direct my own film. There are so many uplifting, powerful stories within our culture that I want to tell. And much like the little girl who once knew her own power, grown woman Naughton finishes her thought with a declaration. I will someday. Of course, Power premiered on July 1st, the premiere of season 5, I should say. So continuing on with Scene, Essence Pick, the hottest beach reads this season. Whether you're a chill axing or your porch or jet setting to an exotic locale, these 7-page turners will keep your summer sizzling. Strength of a Woman, Escape to Zimbabwe, and The Mournable Body. It's priced at $16, an intense novel by acclaimed author, filmmaker, and playwright, Tsitsi Dangamarpa. The multi-hyphenate returns to the lead character of her highly praised debut, Nervous Conditions. You will root for her as an unemployed, middle-aged, single woman who has to think of creative ways to face her landlady when the rent is due. Will she return to her parents' impoverished hometown to ease the financial strain and mirate other adversaries? She keeps you flipping those pages to find. Family Values. Quote, my life is the answer to generational prayers. These 8 poignant words begin. Take you wherever you go. Priced at $26, a powerful memoir from Tony Award-winning Kenny Leon. The tome is a heartwarming tribute to Leon's maternal grandmother, Mamie Wilson. Grandma Mamie, mother of 13, lived the kind of life that makes you exhausted from just reading about it, like coping with a philandering husband who cheats with her cousin. Yet she maintained the fortitude to instill this important life lesson in her grandson. You gotta laugh, baby. Island View. In her riveting debut collection of short stories, How to Love a Jamaican, priced at $27, Alexia Arthurs explores a vast range of issues from race and class to gender and family. A Jamaican immigrant who moved to Brooklyn at the impressionable age of 12. She tells vivid stories that keep readers on their toes. Need proof? There's a chapter titled Light-Skinned Girls and Kelly Rowlands, inspired by her real-life interaction with another young black woman writer she thought she'd have in common with. Our Voices. Delving in Nafissa Thompson Spire's 12 boundary-pushing vignettes in Heads of the Colored People. Priced at $23 is a bona fide treat. The author, who holds a PhD in English from Vanderbilt University, immerses readers in the lives of believable characters like two helicopter Jack and Jill moms in the Belle's Lettres chapter. Thompson Spires brilliantly uses satire to showcase the black contemporary middle class. An unlikely romance occurring 23 years before the Supreme Court's Loving versus Virginia historic ruling. Enemies in Love. priced at $25.99, is about an African-American nurse, Eleanor Powell, and German POW, Frederick Albert, who fall for each other in Jim Crow era Arizona. Spelman alum and Columbia Journalism School adjunct professor Alexis Clark draws from firsthand interviews with friends and relatives of Powell's and Albert's in this moving tale that proves love conquers all. Self-discovery. As the title suggests, I Can't Date Jesus, priced at $17, is a hilarious collection of stories surrounding the unpredictability of romantic relationships. Yet in the book, the openly gay, Houston-bred, Howard University-educated, and Harlem-based author Michael Arsenix goes beyond the obvious and delivers brave essays about the challenge of finally coming out to conservative parents and his ambitious pursuits of becoming a professional writer. He also clearly explains how Beyoncé's Black Southern pride has influenced his life. A Beautiful Struggle. Yersa Deli Ward, the celebrated poet behind Bone, now brings us The Terrible. Priced at $16, an impactful coming-of-age memoir. Born to a Jamaican mother and Nigerian father, then raised by devout Seventh-day Adventist grandparents in northern England, Deli Ward reveals the pain, damage, and joy of childhood, such as her family bond and even fear of sexuality, all with shocking honesty. Continuing on with Scenes books, in his new book, Michael Eric Dyson breaks down why it's impossible to move America forward without reckoning with the Black experience. Michael Eric Dyson is no stranger to tough conversations about race. From his place in academia, he's a professor of sociology at Georgetown University. To his presence on bookshelves, the brother has written more than a dozen books, including 2017's Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. He has a knack for weaving seemingly disparate threads into a tapestry that illustrates the plight of what Langston Hughes called the darker brother. Dyson's latest offering, What Truth Sounds Like, Robert F. Kennedy, James Baldwin, and Our Unfinished Conversation About Race in America. Priced at $24.99, tackles the subject of witnessing the African-American experience as a basis to craft policy that not only reverses the rigged fortunes of our people, but also fixes the entire country. This remix would truly make the nation great in a way that 45 and his acolytes would likely abhor. From sanctuaries to streets and testimonies to protests, witnessing has a hallowed place in our culture. The power is on display in the opening scenes of this tome, which uses a 1963 meeting organized by acclaimed writer and spokesman for Negroes, James Baldwin, as the backdrop. A behest of Attorney General Bobby Kennedy, Baldwin assembled Black artists, thinkers, and activists in a New York City apartment. Among the group were actress Lena Horne, actor and activist Harry Belafonte, playwright Lorraine Hansberry, scholar Kenneth Clark, and freedom rider Jerome Smith. Kennedy entered the room hoping to get the crew excited about the meager things his brother, President John F. Kennedy, had done in the name of civil rights, and to enlist help in creating a strategy that would quell unrest. What he got was far different. Dyson writes, they were there to tell Bobby about the trauma that had scarred each Black person in that room, that has scarred or killed people they loved. Baldwin and his activist friends demanded that Bobby witness them, that he actually hear the rage he claimed to want to understand. They forced him to reject the white supremacist beliefs that hobbled each policies meant to relieve black suffering or relieve black suffering. Dyson masterfully uses this forced reckoning as a point of departure to illustrate the roles that four groups, activists, artists, intellectuals, and politicians played during the civil rights movement and continue to play today. The result is a confident, nuanced take on how the new guard can achieve justice for black folks. On to the next section, titled Issues. So 10 things that we're talking about. Number one, according to the U.S. Swimming Foundation, the philanthropic arm of the national governing body for the sport, approximately 64% of African American adults and young people are not proficient swimmers. Furthermore, Centers for Disease Control research shows that black children ages 5 to 19 drown at 5.5 times the rate of white children. To confront this pressing issue in our communities, the foundation has awarded nearly $500,000 to the 2018 Make a Splash Fund. The money will support the cost of free and reduced cost swimming lessons for more than 16,000 children who would otherwise not be able to afford classes. Quote, my parents made an immediate decision to enroll me in swimming lessons when I nearly drowned at age 5. End quote. Olympian and U.S. Swimming Foundation Ambassador Cullen Jones tells Essence, quote, this decision changed my life and can do the same for all children who look like me. End quote. Number two of topics or trending topics that we're talking about is Never Forget. So when Trayvon Martin's life was cut short at the hands of an overzealous vigilant, we waited for justice to prevail. That day never came. 5 years after his killer was acquitted, Rest in Power, a six-part docu-series airing on the Paramount Network in July, will dive into the heart-wrenching events that left the 17-year-old student dead, his killer free, and this nation screaming, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Number three, paying it forward. Former McDonald's CEO Don Thompson and his wife Liz are giving back to their alma mater, Purdue University, in a major way. During Purdue's Day of Giving, the couple who both study engineering there donated $1 million to the College of Engineering, $900,000 of which will go toward minority students pursuing a degree in that field. Number four. Bermuda is calling. In the past 3 years, African-American travel has experienced noticeable growth, and the island Bermuda's tourism authority has taken note. Teaming up with overseas travel organizations, the territory funded research that will help them gain insight into the black getaway market and implement new strategies to entice visitors to explore the island. Number five. Let's be clear. If we needed any more proof that policies enacted by the criminal justice system were designed to further oppress the black community, we're going or getting it in an unjust burden. The study by the Vera Institute of Justice or Justice lays out the discriminatory laws and practices contributing to the overrepresentation of blacks in the U.S. prison population. Number six, quote, if we want our daughters to dream bigger than we did, then we have to more work to do. So many of us have gotten ourselves to the table, but we're still too grateful to be at the table to really shake it up. End quote. Michelle Obama in conversation with Tracy Ellis Ross at United Nations of Women's Summit. Number seven, talk it out. North Philadelphia is getting free trauma therapy for its young residents. The Joseph J. Peters Institute, an authority in research and treatment, and Strawberry Mansion, a sanctuary of hope, have received a $200,000 grant from the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency to help children ages 3 to 17 who have endured or witnessed violent or negative events. Number 8, improving the odds, showing its commitment to the survival of the Black community. The Lynx Foundation recently gifted $1 million to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for the advancement of 3 sickle cell disease efforts. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that nearly one in every 365 African Americans is born with sickle cell. Number 9, money moves. Arlen Hamilton is no stranger to disrupting the world of venture capital funding. As the founder and CEO of Backstage Capital, she has invested in underrepresented groups since 2015. Now she's launched a $36 million fund that will exclusively finance projects from Black female entrepreneurs. Each recipient will get $1 million in backing. And finally, number 10, what about the girls? After 10 years in existence, UCLA's Black Male Institute is expanding its research to include issues affecting Black female students. Established to address the lack of equality and access for males in education, the association will now tackle disparities such as higher suspension and juvenile incarceration rates among African American girls. So moving on to the next article titled Money and Power, Student Loan Debt. I think a lot of us would love to hear this. I'm interested in hearing what this has, what this is going to talk about. So what to know before and after you borrow. Bogged down by student loans or school loans, you're not alone. In the United States, 44 million borrowers owe about $1.3 trillion together. While women account for nearly two-thirds of that sum, Black women take on more debt for higher education than any other group. In fact, 34% of our sisters who graduated with a bachelor's degree in 2011 had more than $40,000 to repay, compared with only 10% of white women. So how can we get a step ahead without taking two financial steps back? Whether you're a parent helping a child with college expenses or a graduate grappling with loans yourself, here's what you need to know to make paying for school work for you. Before you borrow, explore money. Search for grants and scholarships to qualify for federal state grants. Fill out the free application for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA. Also check out local organizations, employers, and social clubs. Sometimes they give away college scholarships. Look at your budget realistically. You shouldn't buy a luxury sedan with a used car salary, says Shirley Ann Robertson, a financial professional with Prudential in Schaumburg, Illinois. Apply that same logic to selecting a college. An in-state institution with a more affordable price tag might be more feasible than a pricey private one, for example. Students can also save money by attending a community college for 2 years and then transferring to a four-year college to finish. Apply for federal loans first. Funded by the U.S. government, they have better protections than private loans, which are backed by lenders such as banks and credit unions. For example, federal loans typically have a lower fixed interest rate, and you won't have to start paying them back until you leave school or drop below half-time enrollment. They also have more flexible payment plans and may be forgiven under certain circumstances. Make sure cosigners understand the risks. Unlike federal loans, private ones are subject to credit approval. Since many students entering college have a limited credit history, a cosigner may be required. If a family member agrees to assist, he or she will be obligated to pay back the loan if it goes into default. That could derail a parent's financial future, Robertson warns. There is no loan for your retirement, she says. After you borrow, avoid the debt trap. Sometimes students take out loans for unnecessary expenses. People use it to pay for a wonderful apartment versus living in a dorm. Or they use it to buy a car or for indulgences, Robertson says. These loans should cover costs directly associated with your education. Want extras? Get a part-time job or a paid internship. Tackle the interest immediately. You can get a subsidized or unsubsidized federal loan. The difference? While you're in school, the government pays the interest on the loan if it's subsidized. If it's unsubsidized, then you do. While federal and some private loans give you the choice to wait until you graduated to start repaying, you'll save money and get rid of the loans faster by attacking the accruing interest before then. Complete your degrees as soon as you can. Not everyone will be able to finish in 4 years, but try to reduce the time as much as possible so you're not prolonging your schooling and acquiring loans, says Fanaba A. Addo, assistant professor of consumer science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Upon graduation, get organized. You must start repaying federal loans 6 months after you stop going to school. Drop below half-time employment or graduate. It's important to know whom and how much you owe, says Sonia Lewis, CEO of the Student Loan Doctor, a Philadelphia-based coaching business that helps people with debt. Federal loans are assigned to loan servicers. Companies that handle billing and collection, private loans can be administered by the lender or loan servicer. Pick your repayment plan. The federal government offers 8 types, and some of them even let you make lower payments based on your income. However, keep in mind that you'll end up paying more interest over time if you go with a reduced rate. Rethinking refinancing? Companies such as SoFi and LendKey allow you to refinance your loans. While you may find a better deal than your current private loan, carefully evaluate the ramifications of moving from a federal loan to a private one through this process. Because you could lose benefits such as income-based repayment plans and loan forgiveness plans. And consider public service programs. Do you know for the government or a nonprofit, or do you work for a government or for a nonprofit? If you paid 120 monthly installments on your federal student loans, you may qualify to have the remaining balance forgiven under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. And it looks like we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.